Welcome, welcome, superhero souls. We'll just start our gathering today with a guided meditation. So wherever you are in your day, whether it's evening, morning, mid-morning, we're just going to take a deep breath in. And on your exhale, just consciously letting go of energy, details, thoughts, opinions, all of the accumulated stuff of the day. And as you take deep breaths, you're just bringing your attention and your awareness inside. Away from the hustle and bustle and chaos and all sorts of things of the outside world. And back inside, like there's this magnetic force in your heart just drawing in your energy, your life force, your awareness, your power back inside. Each breath taking you deeper and deeper. And each moment, you're just finding the mind able to come to a greater ease, just giving the mind permission to let go. And naturally, as you come inside, feeling the light of the source, the one, the spiritual sunshine. And just taking a moment to just bask in those rays, feeling the warmth of that spiritual light upon you. Drawing in peace. Drawing in power, drawing in love from the One. And enjoying this spiritual nourishment, something not so much talked about in the day-to-day world. So continue receiving that light and just continuing taking this call, this time, as an opportunity, as a gift for yourself to just let go of all the other things going on in your life and just become really present with yourself and really present with this moment and present with that spiritual light, that spiritual nourishment. So we're just going to have a nice time together, receiving light, bringing light and awareness to certain areas of your life, experiencing breakthroughs, experiencing letting go of burdens, things that might be weighing, and just enjoying the process. And we have the lovely Michael with us today.
Many blessings, many, many, many blessings. So very excited to be here with you all. So for those of you who are on your computers, you can press, give us a little message if you want to say hello and ask any questions. And of course, those of you who are with us live on phone, press star 2. We'd love to hear from you, star 2. And just want to mention, you know, these are intense times. Everyone, in one way or another, is going through an intense period. We've been talking about this for a long time. For those of you who've been in superhero training a while, you have heard us going on and on about this for ages, because it's true. And it's only getting more intense. So gone are the days where we could just sit around and everything was nice and organized. Yeah? You know, you can have an organized life and you can look after yourself and create new ways of being, but these are intense times in the world. And if you're tuning into any of the news or any of the things that are going on in the world, you can see it's amplifying more and more and more. So the more and more instability, more and more chaos, more and more clearings, yeah, things are falling apart. And the reason we bring this up again and again isn't to freak you out, yeah, it's not to freak you out, it's just to make you more aware of the fact that this is just the way that life is right now. This is the period of time that we are living through. And once we understand the kind of world that we're living in, then we can start to embrace it and we can start to align ourselves in such a way that we feel at peace with it. Yeah? But if we don't accept these truths and we don't come to these realizations, then we will feel consistently more disturbed than we need to. So just knowing that this is a time of cleansing, a time of clearing, this has been talked about in all the great religions, this is a time of massive transformation, and our main mission as superheroes is to get rid of all the negative old paradigm stuff that we're having inside of us, yeah, all those old ways of being that the mainstream culture is trying to promote us to get into. We need to get rid of it, yeah. So you kind of got two choices. You can either buy into the culture and do what other people want you to, yeah? Do what the television tells you to, do what the internet tells you to, and do what your family and your social groups want you to, yeah, which is the old paradigm. Or you can choose to abandon that and forge a new path through the desert, through the jungle, to your own highest destiny.
And of course we have our family, our superhero family and community, so we are together on the journey, and each soul path within that. And really this training and our time together and our gathering is to really help strengthen the self so you can stabilize yourself in greater peace no matter what is going on in your life or in the world. And that, in essence, is a superhero, right? Somebody who can stay centered, find their ground, their connection to a higher power, and then ultimately be in a position where you can be of service to others as well. So it's a high aim, and you're here for a reason, and it is also an intense time right now. So you can just take a deep breath and know that you're in company who understands, and we're here together. And anything that's going on, anything you would just love to connect on, to share, to receive more guidance on, nothing is too small, nothing is too big. You know, each and everything that shows up in your life has a significance. It's not random. There's great learning and lessons, and even the smallest little challenges that you might think, oh, this thing's so stupid, you know, I shouldn't share it, it's so small. But no, you know, each and everything you're experiencing is a part of a greater picture and greater journey. So really anything that you'd like to bring to the call is perfect.
Yeah, so for those of you who'd love to share something or have any issues, and of course, you know, remember, this is not just for you, everyone else benefits as well. So don't think that you're taking up too much time and it's not fair on others or anything like that, because all questions actually end up helping everyone. So it's not only going to help you, it also serves other people, maybe in 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 years' time, someone would listen to the recording and be like, oh my God, thank you for asking that question. So for those of you who'd like to ask a question or share something, press *2 on your telephone keypad. Don't be shy. We can see people in here. And, oh, look at this. We have San Francisco. This is our beloved brother, Michael. Is that you, Michael, was this?
Hi, Ariel and Michael.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I had something to share and to ask for a reflection on right here. I've been playing with sort of honoring the lineage, you know, the male lineage. But what I found to be effective, or I had an effective experience yesterday, where I looked at a baby picture of myself, and I did like Ho'oponopono, and it was a deeply like emotional and moving experience. Like I cried more than I cried since I can remember, and it just felt very healing. And that's, you know, as much as I understand, really. But I was wondering if that was something, if there was something there.
That sounds powerful. You were looking at a child picture, a baby picture of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That is deep. I mean, to forgive oneself is really getting to the heart of things. I mean, and as a child, you're so innocent in so many ways. You haven't, you know, developed kind of the human functioning mechanisms like we have as adults as much. And you're just looking at yourself, like the essence, you know, the soul that you are. And that feels like something that could bring up a big release. Just deeply forgiving and loving yourself in itself is huge, you know. How did you feel after you had that release, like after the tears?
It felt strong. I felt strong. Like I felt like I was looking at the baby picture. In addition to doing Ho'oponopono, I was saying, you know, like no one will hurt you again. You know, and it felt very grounding. It felt very powerful.
That is very powerful, and in a sense, it's kind of hard to wrap our human brains around time, but just your being a force, kind of an angel for yourself, is grounding something powerful into the energy field for yourself and for yourself then as well. It's a really profound practice. And then you just intuitively felt to do that, Michael.
Yeah, well, I've been experimenting with pictures of family and stuff like that. And I just read this Kurt Vonnegut short story about a child who was like an orphan. Without going into detail, it was basically a child that was wanting a father. And it all sort of came.
That's powerful.
Yeah, right? And you're right. I mean, it's all, everything's happening at once, right?
Yeah, it's all happening at the same time. we don't experience it at the same time, but it's all, everything that ever has happened and ever will happen is all here on some level, even though we're not experiencing it all, which is pretty trippy if you think about it. Everything you've ever done and everything you even will do is all here now. Yeah? So that's a pretty bizarre thing to realize. And when we're younger, we're not fully aware of things like we are when we get older. We get more kind of awareness. And so when we are children, we're often traumatized and put in these weird situations and no one looks after us. And we wish that we had someone who was there for us then, but we didn't. And so we have to become the wizard for our lower self.
For our child self.
For our child self. And have you ever read the book Coming Home?
By who?
By, I think his name's John Bradshaw.
No.
No? Let me just make sure that's the proper name. But basically what it is, or you can like look that up. It's a book about the wounded child or the, you know, your younger self. And I was recommended that book by a spiritual teacher once, many, many years ago. Yeah, Homecoming, it's called.
Reclaiming and Championing Your Inner Child.
Reclaiming and Championing Your Inner Child. Mm-hmm. And it's all about becoming the wizard for your younger self. It's very, very powerful. And a lot of people haven't done the kind of inner child work. And so they're kind of carrying all these wounds around with them, which affect our adult life. So you might find that very helpful. And anyone else who feels you've got some kind of traumas from childhood, it's well worth doing that, reading that book, Homecoming. It'll make you cry, guaranteed. It's very, very touching. So I think if you had that kind of experience just recently, it might be an opening to go deeper into that.
Mm-hmm.
And forgive yourself, forgive others, and, you know, really heal all of these issues. You know, because anger and being annoyed with things, it's all like a consequence of some hidden stuff a lot of the time. A lot of the patterns we have come from our childhood. And if we don't deal with it, then, you know, we have to, if we don't deal with it properly, we will continue to deal with it every day of our lives through our relationships and get in these weird situations and not know why we're triggered.
Yeah.
Yeah. So check it out. I mean, I can talk more about it, but it's worth reading the book because it goes into depth. Main point in the book is that we're supposed to have a wonder child, which is a joyful child that's just in joy. But what we tend to have instead of that is a wounded child, which has been harmed as a child, and it's still inside of us. And so the whole point of that book is to, he calls it becoming the wizard for your wounded child. So you, as your older self now, in a sense, go back in time and find, or you don't even go back in time because the wounded child's inside of you, and you look after that part of you that's still there now. And he also recommends things like spending time doing fun things like you would as a child, because I think as we get older we tend to become
far too strict,
far too serious, as you know, adults in Western culture or any culture just become these very sort of stiff and serious mature people, you know. but children aren't like that, you know, so we need to reclaim that kind of just the wonder of life. So does that sound interesting to you?
Oh yeah, definitely. I'll check it out.
Yeah, check it out. It's because I think what happened there is that you tapped into something that was very deep, and perhaps that happened so that we would talk now.
Yeah.
And that I would recommend that book to you. Because there's strange things happen in strange ways. And anyone else listening to this who feels like you've got some weird inner child issues, then check it out as well. Because I was recommended that book by a very powerful spiritual teacher who's teaching very hardcore, high-level spiritual knowledge. And what she found was that a lot of the people, they, as much as they have all this great information and they're all these wonderful spiritual things, on a deeper level, they're wounded and acting out in these weird ways. And unless that's taken care of, you can try and put all this spirituality on top of a wounded child, but ultimately it's not going to work very well because there's this like foundation's broken.
We can do this test now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Okay. If you guys would like, I just happened to open the book and there's like a little questionnaire and of about, I could just read some of the questions and then you can get an idea if you want to continue with this book. So he says that if you answer yes to more than 10 of these, you might want to do some work with your inner child and look into this book. So I'll just read a few. Perhaps that's helpful for you, Michael, and anyone else on the call. Yeah, would you like that?
Absolutely.
Okay. So you guys can just listen and just in your inner self, just feel if it's a yes or no. Okay, so the first one, I experience anxiety and fear whenever I contemplate doing anything new. I'm a people pleaser, nice guy, sweetheart, and have no identity of my own. I am a rebel. I feel alive when I am in conflict. In the deepest places of my secret self, I feel there is something wrong with me. I am a hoarder. I have trouble letting go of anything. I feel inadequate as a man or woman. I'm confused about my sexual identity. I feel guilty when I stand up for myself and would rather give in to others. I have trouble starting things. I have trouble finishing things. I rarely have a thought of my own. I continually criticize myself for being inadequate. I consider myself a terrible sinner and I'm afraid I'm going to hell. I'm rigid and perfectionistic. I feel like I never measure up, never get anything right. I feel like I really don't know what I want. I'm driven to be a super achiever. My life is empty. I feel depressed a lot of the time. And I don't really know who I am. I'm not sure what my values are or what I think about things. So those are just a few. There's more on his list, but if any of those things you felt a yes towards, hopefully that sparked maybe some self-inquiry, and this book is very helpful. Homecoming by John Bradshaw.
You've covered the vast majority of the population with all of those.
I know. I was thinking this thing. Most of us have had, I used to do work with birth journey facilitation. So that's like kind of from conception to when you're actually come out of the womb. And I worked with a woman who studied this a lot. And most of us have had actually traumatic births on some level. So it starts really, really early. Just because the world is currently in a state of what you could say adharma, meaning out of alignment with dharma, like the natural right flow of things, returning to dharma. So because of that, yes, most everybody, I would say, can answer yes to many or most of those.
Yeah, no, this is important work. I think for me what I resonate with the most is the people pleasing. It's so easy to sort of drop out of my own sort of what I'm doing with my life to like shrink and make sure that I'm not making other people around me feel bad about themselves because they're not driven and directed towards what they actually want to be doing.
Yeah, that is a really significant one for a lot of people. And I think a lot of times, I mean, I actually haven't read this book, to be honest, but it looks really solid. A lot of times we're so used to maybe trying to get our parents' attention or being like good and you know, gaining love that, yeah, it's become such a habit to do that and to learn to shift from people pleasing at the expense of our own centeredness, like our own connection to ourselves, right? To just respect for people, but honoring ourselves. It's really good you're doing this work. It's a powerful place to focus that'll get some powerful results in your life.
Yeah, and you know, one thing you can start doing is just thinking about what did you enjoy doing when you were a child?
Legos.
Lego?
Building things.
Yeah, I used to do that as well. That was great. I never built the things that they wanted me to. I just built my own little things.
Mm-hmm.
But I had a suitcase of it, actually, for some reason. But, things like that, yeah. I think when we're younger, we have this insatiable desire to be older. I think most kids want to be grown-ups almost immediately. So childhood is kind of like cut short with this desire to be older all the time. You know, older is better, it seems like. So we kind of rush through it. A lot of people rush through it. Some people don't even get a proper childhood because their parents are such control freaks. So that's even worse. But so you can think about what else, maybe, and it's good for everyone to think about this, write a list of the things that you like, that you used to like to do. And start doing some of them. Yeah. Even some of them might seem ridiculous, so some of the things won't be relevant anymore. But some of them will be very relevant and a lot of fun. And also the sort of foods that we used to eat. Some things are probably like we would consider highly toxic and we wouldn't eat anymore. Oh, it's not organic. It's not this and that and the other. You know, but sometimes it gets a bit over the top. A lot of people, they get into these health fads and they deny themselves of any pleasure whatsoever, you know. And so what we want to do is come to a place of stability and peace and joy where we're doing the things that we actually like to do, and giving power to the wonder child, giving it some energy, giving it some time, you know. So it also, and there's a great thing, having a date with yourself. It's a bit different, but it's the same sort of thing. Where you go and do something every week, which is just purely enjoyable, that you know, it's kind of innocent fun. We need to do that sort of thing, because otherwise because think about the difference between a wounded child is this kind of like broken, depressed, massively inhibited, you know, shy little thing in the corner that's like, or it's like angry and stressed out and just a nightmare for everyone. Yeah. Either way, it's not very nice. And a wonder child is someone who's free, liberated, and just sort of like in the wonder of everything. You know, like babies are total wonder beings. They're just like, ooh, you know, but children can be like that as well. So we need to get that back in our life. Otherwise, we're stuck, you know. So what foods do you like to eat that just bring you joy? Like one, when I was doing this, I remember thinking that I used to enjoy peanut butter on toast. Yeah. And I was like, I don't eat bread and I won't have any peanut butter. And I was like, this is ridiculous. Yeah. So I went and bought myself some bread, some white bread and some peanut butter. And it was fantastic. I was like, yes, this is awesome. You know, I'm not going to live on peanut butter and toast, but, you know, sometimes it just brings you joy. And, you know, just little fun little things. So that's like, obviously there's a lot more than that. There's a whole bunch of wounds that need to be looked at. But the fun side of it is to go and do these interesting, enjoyable things that activate that sense of lightness and freedom and joy inside of you.
Does that sound good, Michael?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's fun. So just give yourself some space and kind of, you know, you can talk with yourself and connect with yourself and just even invoke the child within you with your intention. And just find out what Michael would like to do. And I think I've done these practices before and they are very healing and very fun, and you kind of feel a greater sense of wholeness return to your being, like rather than kind of being fragmented and you know, sometimes that can bring a lot of triggers up, feeling a greater sense of wholeness in yourself. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's what we're looking for, right, is that sense of wholeness.
Yeah. Yeah. This is really good. And, feel free to let us know how it goes and what you end up doing. I think it's actually inspiring and good homework for all the superheroes listening now and in the future. So I'm glad that you brought this up.
Mm-hmm. Can make another class, Mike.
Yeah. Yeah, there's always more. But, But, you know, for now, read the book. It's a great book. And, it definitely brings a sense of wholeness, because you feel a lot of the time we're living our whole life on one channel. You know, it's just like this one thing over and over and over again, like one channel, one bandwidth. And it's completely ignoring the wonder child, and it's ignoring the higher states, and it's ignoring all these other elements of life that make us feel whole and satisfied. So we need, you know, and chances are we're not going to get off because we're addicted to that channel. You know, whatever, it's like a trance state. We're in this trance state, which is like one way of going about things. And we just go on and on and on. And then we get triggered and we go into a different state and then we go back into the same state. So we need to choose to invoke these altered states of being ourselves. And if we don't do that, here's the shocking reality. If we don't figure this stuff out, we're going to have a terrible life.
Michael.
No, it's true. It's true. Because if we don't do the work ourselves, the life will teach us the lesson very painfully over and over and over again until we get the lesson. There's just two ways of learning. It's either through ongoing misery or we just do the work ourselves and say, you know what, I'm just going to do it anyway. And superheroes are those who choose to just do what's necessary without having to have massive pain to inspire them. Yeah, so you'll feel much better and you'll also avoid huge amounts of problems. So it's just win-win-win-win-win. So what kind of food do you used to like, Michael, that you haven't been eating recently?
Macaroni and cheese.
Macaroni and cheese. The amount of times I hear people say that.
That's a good one.
That is a good one. I used to like that as well, actually. It's fantastic, yeah. I remember there was this macaroni and cheese. It was this, like, really orange cheese, I remember. Yeah, it's fantastic. So go and get yourself some macaroni and cheese. I'm sure San Francisco's got some sort of gourmet, organic macaroni, like, something microbiotic organic mac cheese with some sort of special quinoa pasta or something, you know. but you can just get the real stuff from the supermarket and be done with it, you know. And it's not like a big deal. You don't have to like live on it for the rest of the year or anything, but it's just fun, you know. So yeah, how does that feel, bro? Get your mac cheese in.
I love
it. Yeah, buy some Lego as well.
Yeah.
What's he done? What have you done all day? I've been playing with Lego and having my macaroni and cheese. It's fantastic. Love it. Yeah. What a great day.
This is a great day.
What a great day. Gosh, if everyone just had Lego and macaroni and cheese, what a joy.
The world could, like, pause for peace, like, for one day if everybody just, like, Legos and ate macaroni. Thing would be okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful. Well, wonderful. Curious to hear what the other people on the call, what food that they want to have and what they want to do too. That's great. Do you have any other questions, Michael?
If no one else has their hand up.
At this moment, no one else is raising their hand, but if you are on the call, you know what to do. So yeah, you can go ahead.
I had a question on a book that I read that Michael wrote.
Okay.
About the 80-20 rule and looking for diamonds. And I was left a little bit sort of wanting more, I guess.
Yeah, well.
I'm sure you know what I'm asking, like wanting.
Yeah, I do, yeah. No, see, the thing is, the diamonds, and just for those of you who don't know what we're talking about, I've written a book called The Path to Freedom, and in that book, basically I'm explaining that most of what we do is a complete waste of time. not just as a theory, as a fact, and you can observe it yourself. It's a provable fact that the majority of our time is completely ridiculous and pointless. And there's a few things that we do that make a massive difference, which is the gold. So the mud, 80% of our time is muddy. I call it the mud. It's kind of pointless, sticky stuff. And then there's 20% is the gold, and then 1% is the diamond. And the diamond is the most potent, highly powerful things that we do or we think. So if we want to have an awesome life, we need to focus more on diamonds and gold and stop wasting time and all that money nonsense. And basically, that's the kind of essence of the book. And so your question is about how do you find the diamonds? Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, I remember in the book you said it was more of an art than a science.
It is more of an art than a science, yeah. It's a bit of a science on some level, but it's more of an art. So in the one of the things I mentioned in the book is if you figure out the gold, the diamonds are normally in the gold. Well, actually, they are in the gold. It's like the most powerful thing. So I can't tell you what your own diamonds are, because I don't know what they are. But I can tell what mine are, so you get an idea, sort of a little story. what I've personally found over the years is that I can do everything else. I can do all these different things. But if I don't feel spiritual power, if I don't feel spiritual bliss, then my whole life, frankly, is a total mess. And I don't like it. Do you know what I mean? I can be living in the most beautiful places and have all this opportunity and all these things I can do and everything. But if I don't feel that spiritual connection, then I feel something's horribly wrong. And it spoils everything. But that's my own experience. So for me, the diamond is having that experience every day, again and again. Meditation. And that's why I've started doing these guided meditations every evening, 5 days a week, because I need it for myself. And we're even doing a morning one as well. So so these things, it's like they're so precious that, like, you know, so that's just my experience. And that's, you know, because I've done a lot of experimentation over the years about on various different things. And it comes back to that. So, you know, someone else might say, oh, I've got to do my, you know, my hatha yoga practice and do my stretching, otherwise I feel off. Or someone else might say, I've got to, like, go for a walk in nature. And I do all those things as well, you know, exercise and nature and good food. But if I don't get the spiritual power, all the other stuff doesn't mean anything. And also, so what we're really talking about is we need to find a way of feeling good on the inside. Because if we don't, and if we feel stressed all the time, then we're going to act from a stressed place and cause ourselves a lot more problems just by being alive. Yeah. And there's a great example, there's a nice analogy of this, that what most people do is they got this bag of seeds, right? And what majority of people do is they walk around planting seeds of future problems all day long. Yeah? Do you know what I mean? So if we have a joyful inner state, we'll plant seeds of future success. But if we have a negative inner state, we'll plant seeds of inner conflict and future drama. And what nearly everyone does is they spend their whole day running around planting seeds that are going to cause them problems in the future. Which sucks, really. What's that? That's why you're better off playing Lego and eating mac cheese. Yeah. It's like a lot of people, like, they get into business. Oh, I've got to set up my company and all this stuff. And then they end up in this total nightmare of a trap that they hate. Yeah. I work with a lot of entrepreneurs, and they always complain about their businesses eating them alive. You know?
Yeah, I can relate.
Yeah, people go, I'm going to create all these great companies and change the world, and they end up being eaten alive by this massive monster that they have created themselves. Yeah, it's like they wake up in the morning and it kind of is after them, first thing in the morning, you know, through the email. Oh my God, drama, 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 from 6 o'clock in the morning till 11 o'clock at night, they're being like chased around by the demons, and they go to sleep. And they wake up and it's after them again with their text messages first thing in the morning, you know, and that's not the sort of life we want to have. So, that's just my experience. But what do you do when you feel your life is at its best?
What do I do when I feel like my life is at its best?
Yeah, when your life is at its best, when you have the best days ever, what have you been doing that's created that best day ever?
Meditation, exercise, and proper, you know, healthy nutrition. So really a physical and you know, a physical grounding. An absolute,
yeah.
Like, you know.
Good. So there you go. That's probably the diamond. You know, it could be a combination of those three things together. And then, see, here's what you do, is that you start off with something like that. Like, that's clear enough, yeah? But then, within your meditation and within your exercise and within your nutrition, there's more powerful things within each of those, yeah? So there's like meditation could be one way or another way. That you could have like 10 different kinds of meditation, and one of them would be more powerful than all the others. And there's different kinds of exercise, and one would be more potent and enjoyable than the others. And there's different sorts of food. Do you see what I mean? So what you do is you start off with like the bigger things like meditation, exercise, and nutrition. But then you think, okay, what kind of meditation and how long do I need to do it for, and where do I do it that is the most powerful? Yeah? Like, what gets the results? And then you keep refining it. Yeah? Like, I'll give you an example. Aaron and I just started a morning meditation, which you guys can join if you want. We'll tell you more when it's established properly. But it's we'll let you know about it. But basically, we were doing certain readings and then certain amount of meditation. And at the end of the meditation, we were like, that was good, but it could be better. So we're going to refine the readings slightly, and we'll keep refining them until it's as good as it can be. And we'll probably keep doing it. You know what I mean? So you start with something, and then you refine it so that it's more powerful. That's how you get the diamond. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, related to that is something that I'm struggling with is planning, sort of planning workflows and planning exactly what I'm doing here. I know that planning is important, yet for some reason there's like resistance to it. There's no resistance to work or to execution. There's no resistance to reading. But when it comes to just sitting down and planning,
part of the reason is that plans normally don't work out at all. You know? So you spend all this time planning, right? And then you just abandon the plan in 3 days or 1 day. It's done.
Yeah.
You know, you think, what was the point, you know? I mean, we've got all sorts of plans that we've come up with, and they never work.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I've actually given up on planning. I've got no, seriously, I've got visions and I've got deadlines.
Okay.
Yeah. But plan needs to be like very flexible, purely because here's the thing, right? There are people who are called project managers who work in companies to manage a project, yeah. And they their job is to plan, and they have these Gantt charts. Have you ever heard of that Gantt chart?
Yeah, cool. I've seen them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So basically, how that works is that you say, okay, here's the end result of this project is to achieve this result, right? And in order for us to get that result, we have to do this thing first, followed by this thing, followed by this thing, followed by this thing, followed by this thing. And here's the preconditions. Like, we can't do step number four until we've done step number two and three, and we've got this thing in place. But so there are these project managers, and they have these Gantt charts, and they figure out what has to go first and what other things have to be there before you can go to the next milestone, and then the next one, and the next one, and the next one. Because some of these projects are very big and complicated, and there's lots of steps here. So so some people, that's their full-time job, is to do project management, yeah? I would love to have someone like that who does it for us, because it would be great. But I don't personally have the patience for that sort of thing, nor do I have the inclination to stick with it. So what I tend to do is I do 21-day challenges, or just have like goals. Here's my goal I want to achieve, and then what's it going to take? And normally things take a little bit longer than I think, because they're harder than I think. Or I feel some resistance that gets a bit tedious and takes extra time. Yeah. So see, the problem with planning is that if you say, the number one issue is that we normally underestimate how long things take. Yeah, so you say, I want to finish this project, I should be able to do it all today, right? But really, it's a week-long project, and you can't do it in a day. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so if you plan something that there's this one, if you plan that in a week you're going to do this, 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 and this, and it turns out that the first thing on the list is going to take 2 weeks to do, right, but you've planned that on the second day you're going to do this new project, when actually the first project is going to take 2 weeks. You're already 2 weeks behind straight away. Yeah. And do you see what I mean? So it's normally just the planning only works if you're actually reasonable about how long things take to do. And you think through every single step in the process fully before you do it, which is good. You know, it's definitely good to think it all through. And I do think stuff through, but in terms of like a weekly schedule, it doesn't always work. Because let's say you've got a plan and you figured it all out, right? And then on Monday, it turns out that some crazy emergency happens and you couldn't do any work at all. So now you're a day behind. So what you're supposed to do on Tuesday, you now have to do on Wednesday rather than, you know what I mean? So that whole plan's been knocked off by a day. And then you might get sick or something, or you have an accident or something. I mean, I'm hoping you don't have, like, endless accidents and sicknesses. But, you know, random stuff happens, you know. Or there's no problem really happened. It's just that you spaced out and watched a film instead. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, I can't handle this. I'm going to go. You know what I mean? Or some random talk to someone, or you go for a walk, or you say, I can't handle this, I'm going to go for a walk. You know, so planning only works if first of all, you're capable of doing the stuff you say in the amount of time you think it is. And secondly, if you can stick to the plan and not get distracted by your own desire to, like, go on Facebook or watch a film or, you know, spend time with some people or whatever, you know. Does that make sense?
Yeah. What that brings up for me is a question of how do you remember what you're doing? And for me, it's a little bit different because I'm working more, you know, sporadically through the week, a little bit here, a little bit there. And then if I don't sit down knowing exactly what I should be doing or what I want to be doing, then distraction comes in, or I read someone else's opinion, or I, you know, ask someone else's opinion, and it throws me off,
yeah.
Right? Then I have to remember, what was I trying to accomplish here? You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I know what you mean. No, okay, so here's what I do, and I think this is very important. So the plan thing, it normally doesn't work for all these reasons we've talked about.
Yeah,
but what we definitely need is a very clear outcome of what are we trying to achieve here, and have the intention of finishing it. So my favorite word in all this business stuff is finishing. So I have a board. I have all these whiteboards. If you come to my office, you'll see I've got all these massive whiteboards all over the walls. Yeah. And one of them, it's got this huge board, and what it says at the moment is it says blissful contentment on the board. Because end of the day, if I don't feel blissfully content, then everything I'm doing is just a nightmare. Yeah, so I've got, my main thing is blissful contentment. Then I've got another board that has this massive picture of this system that I'm working on, so that I can help lots of people all the time without having to be there, which is great, yeah. And then I've got another board which is about finishing things, what actually needs to be finished within a certain time frame. Yeah. So what I suggest you do is you get a whiteboard. You can get ones that you roll up and put them on the wall, yeah. And you stick it on the wall and you write at the top of the board, finish, and you write underneath the deadline. So you say, of course. So it says finish, there's the deadline, and then it says these are the things, and try not to have too many of them. Three is enough. Maybe one would be better, but not like 15, yeah, because you can have like a line underneath and say, here's what I want to finish after I finish that main one. Yeah, but you're only trying to finish one thing at a time. The key to getting things finished is to finish one thing at a time.
Mm.
Now that might sound like really obvious, but hardly anyone does it. What most people do is they've got like too many projects and they're not trying to finish any of them. They're just messing about, yeah? So it's fine to have lots of projects, but focus on one being completely finished, and then you cross it off, and then you put the next one. So if you imagine this visually, it'd be a whiteboard. It says finish at the top. There's a deadline, and then there's like this big circle, and you write inside that circle the one thing that you're going to finish. Yeah, so you can still work on the other projects, but you're not trying to finish them. You're only trying to finish that first one. And then when it's finished, then you wipe it off and you can have a celebration because you finished something. So you deserve to celebrate with your mac cheese and some new Lego, yeah? Yeah. And then you put the next one on there, yeah? And then you finish that. And it's easy that way. Do you know what I mean? You don't have to worry about the plan. So if you come back from somewhere and you're like, okay, I've got time now to finish this thing, you look at your board and you're like, okay, I'm going to finish that thing. And that's how things get done. And then you feel like you're making success. You're having momentum, yeah, because you're actually moving forward every time, yeah. And you only have one thing to finish at once, so you kind of take all the pressure off yourself. So, yeah, I mean, simple as it is, that after this is like 20 years of me doing my own projects, I've come to realize that that's what it comes down to. Yeah.
Love it. That's the diamond there. Love it.
Yeah, yeah. So whiteboard, finish one thing at a time, and there you go. And don't worry about the plan too much, because it's not going to work.
It never does.
No. I mean, maybe it does for these companies that have these Gantt charts, but they adjust the plan all the time, so it doesn't work for them either. Actually, they keep changing it. So put it this way: plans just never work. Period. They just don't work.
Yeah.
Because we're projecting onto the future all sorts of things that are just not going to happen. Yeah, so there you go. Finish. Finish one thing at a time, and then you'll feel good about yourself, and you'll actually be making progress.
Progress.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think for everyone listening, the word finish is a very, very powerful word. Yeah. Very powerful. So if you can focus on finishing what you start, you build a power, superpowers, yeah? Everyone's got ideas. some people never even start them, but then lots of people do start them and never finish them. So if you want to be a real superhero, then you have an idea, you start your idea, and then you finish your idea, and then you have success. And that's really all it is.
Yay.
Love it.
Thanks.
Love you guys. So grateful to be part of the superhero community.
We love you, Michael.
Love you, bro. Yeah, have a beautiful mac cheese and Lego session.
Yeah, I might have to put a picture up on the Facebook wall of it.
Yeah,
I think
you
so.
Can sit there with your bowl of macaroni and cheese and be like, I got my Lego up on my mac cheese. It's just the best day ever. And we're like, yeah. Because everyone's post pictures of, you know, like these days it's all like smoothies and raw foods and special pies and stuff. But what about the mac cheese and Lego?
There we go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really awesome. Nice.
Thank you.
So if there's any pressing questions, no one has their hand up. I do wanted to say one more thing about the planning. You know, there is definitely a reality that we all do work a little differently, and if you're someone who really likes to like write things out smaller, like in a notebook, that could work for you too, whether it's a whiteboard or you know, some sort of planner type notebook that works for you, that's great too. You just want to like know what your goal is, you know, and have that intention very clear. And you might even like creating a little ritual around your planning. Well, sorry, I shouldn't use that word. Around your intention and the actions that you're taking, so you don't get off track. And, you know, make a cup of tea, or maybe it's get a bowl of mac and cheese and play Legos, or I don't know. There's some sort of like little ritual that you can come back to keep yourself grounded before and after you start projects, and you know, assess how you can do better and these types of things. So it can be very fun and exciting.
Yeah. It's definitely one thing I highly recommend everyone does. I think it's absolutely critical is that you sit down and figure out if you're going to do a project, what are the steps involved? You don't have to put them on a calendar because you might not do them on those days because it might not work, but at least know what they are. Yeah, because a lot of the time if you start a project and it has like 55 steps, because by the way, most projects have a lot more steps involved than you're aware of.
Yeah.
Even making a cup of tea has like 4, 5, 6 steps, you know. Go, you know, put it on, turn it on, press the button, wait for it, you know, get a cup, put the tea in. Or, do you know what I mean? There's like 8, 10 steps just to make tea. Yeah, so if you're doing a big project, it's probably 100 steps or 50 steps. It's good to write them down just so you're aware of what you're actually doing. And then it unconsciously sets you up for success because you can see yourself going through the whole process and getting the result. What tends to screw people over is having these lofty visions and having absolutely no idea at all what it requires to get there. Do you know what I mean? So there's this huge dilemma between this like massive like break between where you are now and where you want to go. So the plan in its essence is just what steps do I need to take? The plan is really a map. It's a route. So the destination is the vision. The plan is the route. It's like putting in, it's like a GPS. If you want to go from like San Francisco to, you know, Sedona, yeah, and you want to drive, there's a route. So, I mean, you go down this road and then take this highway and then take this highway. At least know where you're going to go, yeah, and then you can plan it better. Because if you are going to actually physically travel somewhere, you want to know, okay, if it's a long journey, you want to know, where am I going to stay the night? What am I going to eat? Yeah, but if you don't know any of that, you don't think about it, you know, like if someone goes to say they go to the Grand Canyon and they haven't figured out what to eat, and they spend the whole time trying to find a restaurant, yeah, instead of seeing the Grand Canyon. It's a bit pointless going there all the way, yeah. So it's planning in its essence is just what I need to do. And then once you know what it is, you just finish. And taking the time to think about things is very, very, very good. So there you go. So these calls are normally an hour, but we can go for another 10 minutes. So then we got one more person's raised their hand. We'll just take this quickly. And anyone who's on the webcast, feel free to say hi. We'd love to hear you. We don't know who you are even, so you can just say hello. We'd love hearing from you. So we have the wonderful Lydia from Greece. Hello, Lydia.
Hi, Lydia.
Hello. Hello, everyone.
Yay. Lydia was sharing with me earlier today about how to, giving some ideas on the superhero training website. So we look forward to some various little changes that she suggested that are very good. So thank you, Lydia, for that.
My joy, really. So I just got a question while you were talking about planning. I had a feeling that in the superhero training, planning was something important, and also backward planning, which you have so much focus on the training. So I was just wondering how everything you were saying now kind of, you know, goes with the planning and the training. Because I struggle with what you said exactly. Like, I think planning, at least for me, is really important, but then I have a really hard time following the plan. So, yeah, that was my question.
Yeah. Well, the backwards planning, all the backwards planning is, really, is it just a way of figuring out the steps you need to take. the reason that planning goes wrong, here's why it goes wrong. Like for example, if you had to make a cup of tea, yeah, everyone's made tea, yeah. Have you made tea, Lydia?
Yeah.
Have you made any? Of course we have. Everyone's made plenty of tea, yeah. I've made tea, coffee, smoothies. You know what I mean, salads. I mean, we've all made stuff, right?
Yeah.
And because it's not a big deal, we don't plan it out. Yeah, like no. They're like, okay, backwards planning. All right, I imagine the tea. What has to happen before I get the tea? All right, yeah. So because it's a small thing, we don't have to plan it. Yeah. But we do. But if you'd never made tea, I remember when I was younger. I remember my mother, when I was like 8 or 9 or something, she said, can you make us 2 cups of tea? And I was like, how do I make tea? Well, I have no idea what you're talking about. She's like, what do you mean you can't make tea? She's like, I have no idea. Like, first of all, you have to boil the kettle. Then you have to get the tea bag. I was like, what am I supposed to do with these tea bags? Now, how long are they supposed to stay in the cup for, the tea bag? You know? And then you add the milk, and then you add the sugar, and then it's like traditional cup of English tea. I'm like, all right, I had to learn. And it was this weird thing, and then I'm like, no, I know. Yeah. So it's a lot of the stuff we're doing, it's like learning how to make tea the first time you do it. And one of the reasons that people get screwed up about their projects is they have no idea what the steps are. So planning goes wrong when you put the steps into a timeline. That's when it goes wrong. But having the steps generally is absolutely critical. Do you know what I mean? Do you know that you see the difference? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because one is saying, so let's say there's 50 steps to achieve a project, and you can't avoid all 50 of them. You have to do all of them, you know. It's like shooting a video. Like, we do all these videos, superhero training. Turns out that shooting a video is actually pretty hard because there's tons and tons of steps involved in doing a good video. It's a lot of work. And people who just say, oh, I'm going to shoot a video, they kind of just rock up with their camera and they press the button and then they're like, oh my God, that wasn't any good, it doesn't make any sense, and then they have to do it again and they have to edit, it's just a mess. So what you want to do with the plan is you write it down step by step by step by step. Take an hour to do it, you know, have a cup of tea, yeah, you don't have to plan the tea, you just make the tea, macaroni and cheese, yeah, and then you can plan the bigger things, yeah. So first thing you do is you make the tea, then you make the macaroni and cheese, then you play with the Lego, right, and once you've done all that, then you can start your plan. And, yeah, but don't worry too much about putting it on a timeline, in a calendar. Because it might turn out that on Monday when you're supposed to do all these things, like I'll give you an example, we're doing a new launch with a program, right? And we're doing all these new videos at the moment. And if it's raining outside, yeah, then that immediately screws up our video shoot because we can't go out in the rain and get a good film because it's the wrong weather. And if it's too hot, you can't do it. And if it's too dark, you can't do it either. So it only works in certain conditions. So a lot of the plan is only applicable under certain circumstances. Yeah. And they might not be available on Monday morning at 6 o'clock or 8 o'clock or whatever it is. Yeah. So you have to be flexible on the timeline. But definitely write down the steps after you've had your mac cheese and your cup of tea.
Or she might have a different thing.
She might. What do you like to eat, Lydia? What was your favorite food when you were?
Well, as far as I remember, I love salads. Like, this was my top food. I would always leave any other food around, just hanging.
Wow.
But my treat that I could just have loads was just chocolate. And it still is. It's like every day, all day long, I can go with chocolate. Yeah.
Well, good for you. Yeah.
That's my top favorite thing. Chocolate and something very salty, like a cracker or something like that.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Yeah. Well, you haven't let go of the chocolate, which is nice. You know, I mean, chocolate's good for you anyway, so.
Well, the chocolate I was having as a kid was, you know, milk, sugar, all that.
I remember reading an article that said this. Let's be honest, when we were kids, you know, you get those assorted chocolates, there's like different kinds. As children, the dark chocolates, everyone would be like, I don't want that, yeah. And they always wanted the milk chocolate, yeah. But then later on, we all pretend that we like dark chocolate, but really we still like milk chocolate.
Well, I don't.
You don't like it anymore?
No. I've tried it, and I've tried desserts with, you know, these cream and stuff. I cannot have it. But
yes, it does get. It can be a bit kind of harsh on the teeth, I've noticed. It's like 90% sugar.
Yeah, it feels just too heavy. I can't get it in my body. It's just, I don't find the joy, but I find the joy in all these other chocolates that I have.
Exactly.
Actually, I told you before, my number one chocolate here in Greece, which is available, is the Own Bar. And I know you were involved with it before. It's a huge success in Greece, actually, weirdly enough.
Yeah.
It's everywhere. I love that.
Yeah,
and actually, there is one which is the coconut cream one, which is actually the best version of a creamy chocolate, kind of milk chocolate I could imagine. But it tastes fantastic. I love it.
Yeah, the Own Bar milk chocolate is just the best ever. That was my idea originally. To brother Richard, he makes the chocolate. I co-founded it with Richard.
Yeah.
And I remember telling him he needs to put coconut cream in the chocolate.
It's and, just yum.
Yeah. Now there's the milk one, which is the blue colored one. Yeah. And highly, highly addictive stuff. And
it is.
So
I just remember once in my life a chocolate trauma, which was I got this disease thing when you were a kid. You get all these pimples everywhere and you're scratchy and all that. And the only thing that the doctor recommended I cannot have because it will make me worse is chocolate. And I was like, I was literally, they kind of bound my hands because I was itchy and scratchy everywhere. Plus, I couldn't have any chocolate. I was so devastated.
That's terrible.
It was like the worst ever.
That's horrendous.
Torture. Back to the planning. I just wanted to add something else. What happens? I mean, I usually in my work, when I do my work like healing architecture work, I go more with intuition. Like I feel there is a time that it's the time to work and everything flows. So I don't plan in that one. I just go and I'm called to do the work at specific times. But for example, now with my PhD, I have deadline and I have such a hard time keeping up with the time and meeting that deadline. That's why I'm really asking you this question. So I know that time that planning doesn't work. All of the reasons you mentioned is exactly as it is. But what happens if you, for example, have a very specific time-wise deadline? What do you proceed? How do you proceed with that?
We're not always very good with deadlines. But no, so for the intuitive feel for doing the action when it just feels aligned, that's fantastic. There's definitely a perfection to that. I think something that can be useful for if you have a deadline or not is just the power of intention as far as using like consciousness techniques to be effective. Because when we are intending for something, you're intending to have this done, you're intending to do this, and then you just totally let it go, that's when we kind of get that intuitive download that, okay, now is the time, and it just totally unfolds perfectly. As far as like deadlines and being in school, sometimes, I mean, for us, sometimes we just push through it. We just do it. It's not always like, you know, the most pleasant thing in the world, right? But it's also an opportunity, I guess, to just surrender resistance and just do it and make it as pleasant as possible. I guess that can kind of come with being in a situation where you have deadlines and it can feel a little bit unnatural. Yet it's kind of, I guess, part of the thing, you know, as much as possible, using your intention and as much as you can go with that intuitive flow when things just are right, you know, and align that way.
Okay. Yeah, it's a balance. Sometimes, because resistance, if we wait around to feel good about everything all the time, we might never feel good or get anything done. You know. So what I personally find is that if I'm really tired, for example, and I need to have a nap, then I'm better off just having a nap for like even if it's like 20 minutes. So you don't want to try and work if you're really tired because it's just pointless. But apart from that, also if you're really angry or something, that's not very good either. Yeah. So if you're really pissed off or you're really tired, it's just better not to bother. Yeah.
But, obviously.
But well, not obviously for a lot of people. They just do it anyway. Yeah. And it causes a lot of problems. Yeah. A lot of people, it's like, oh, I feel angry and tired. I'll just have more coffee. You know. So you want to avoid that because that can be resolved. But I've tried different things, but I like wearing big headphones. I've got these big over-the-ear headphones that I play some cool music. If I'm working on the computer, yeah, I'll play some cool music. And oftentimes I'll set a timer. It depends what it is. If it's computer stuff, I can set a timer and play some music and just knock it out in an hour. You know what I mean? Just get on with it. Because I might not feel like it. So oftentimes the stuff that's most important to do, there's resistance to doing it. And unless you get started, you'll never get anywhere. And normally if you just take the first couple of steps, then you get in the flow and then it's all good. But if we wait around, then we might never do anything. And then the day goes by and then at the end of the day, we're like, what happened today? Well, it was a bit pointless, you know. So, so it doesn't always have to be done on a calendar, but there is a need to just knock things out, yeah, because it feels better to finish things than it does to have these endless lingering projects, you know? So if it's computer work, headphones, music, and a timer seems to help. Chocolate helps, caffeine can help, depending if you can handle it. Carver, it's good stuff. You know, obviously smoothies and all the other stuff. Heroin and cocaine and things like that. you know, mild stimulants or mild relaxing things, like I think I go as far as carver and coffee, about as far as I go with drug-related substances, and chocolates. They just do the job sometimes, you know. You just have to understand that if you're doing something significant, you're probably going to have resistance. And so there's no way around it other than sitting your ass down and getting on with it.
Why do you think that is, what you just said? If you're doing something significant, then you're going to have resistance.
Why do you think it is that we have resistance? Is that what you're asking?
No, he just said the phrase, if you're doing something significant, then you're going to have resistance to do it. So I'm wondering why.
Oh, that's a good question. Well, for whatever reason, there's a part of us that has negativity and sometimes might be scared. Like if we're doing something significant and it's going to be very meaningful and powerful, I mean, it could even come back to a wounded child, unconscious, that's like scared of something new, or there's different insecurities and they might not be conscious. Fears, different inner complications is typically, I think, what creates resistance. And oftentimes it might not be conscious. But if we're taking significant steps in our life, it's a significant project, something meaningful, it can tend to bring up those feelings or beliefs, and that can just feel like resistance. And then we can explore it more.
Yeah, basically anything new and different is basically going against the status quo. It's basically threatening to the normal way of doing things. Yeah, so for example, let's say somebody is used to having like not very much money, right? And they're doing something that's going to bring them a lot of money. There's going to be resistance to doing it, because having lots of money is even though it's better, it's disturbing because it's new. Do you know what I mean? So even if it's most things that we're doing that we want to do are really positive things. The outcome is positive, but the ego, his one of its things is saying, keep everything the same, keep everything the same. So as soon as you start, like, if you go on a, like, for example, most people, they're better off if they did more meditation. How many people do more meditation? Not very many. Why not? It's not because it's bad to do. It's because the ego doesn't like it, because it represents a change in consciousness. Yeah. Most people, the ego wants us to stay stuck doing the same old things we always did. That's why many people are in dysfunctional, abusive relationships, and they're still in abusive relationships 10 years later, because the idea of a new, better relationship is actually scary to the ego. The idea of more money is scary to the ego. the idea of a better lifestyle is scary to the ego. I don't know if you can hear that. It was pretty serious thunder just then. So
yeah, that was quite strong, actually.
Yeah, the clouds are rumbling. The heavens are rumbling away, yeah? Anything new immediately brings with it some fear of change, yeah? And so that, I mean, and the only people who really get anywhere in life are people who are willing to face resistance directly and get on with it. And I think one of the greatest delusions of the New Age community is this idea that you should only do things that feel good, because that's actually highly dangerous, because it means going along with the ego all the time. Because often the things that we need to do that are the best for us feel terrible for a time, for a period of time. Yeah? Like, for example, no author would ever finish their book if they had done what felt good to them the whole time. None of them. I know tons and tons of authors, teachers, speakers, and none of them would ever have done anything that they're doing now if they had just felt good about it. Everyone feels somewhat disturbed and stressed out sometimes as they face the resistance. And so once we're willing to face it and we don't make it out as this like terrible thing, yeah, once we say resistance is a good sign, not a bad sign, then everything's all right. And don't have to worry too much about it. Yeah?
Yeah.
So are you willing to face resistance, Lydia?
I am indeed.
Good. See, everything gets better when you face resistance, yeah?
It does.
It's a really important lesson, because I think there's too many people nowadays who are lying to everyone, saying, oh, just do what makes you feel good, you know? And what ends up happening is people sit around watching Netflix and TV and smoking weed all day long, you know? And, like, it's like, well, you know, after like months and months of like movies and cannabis, like you haven't done anything, yeah? Do you know what I mean? I'm not saying that no one should smoke weed or watch a film, but if you only did what feels good for you, you know, where would we all be? You know, we'd probably be in like massive debt and, you know, in all sorts of weird relationships probably, you know? So, but when you do what's good for your soul and you face resistance, then you have an awesome life. And things can consistently get better and better and better.
Awesome. Yeah. Good topics today.
Yeah, what a great call.
Yeah.
What an awesome call. Thank you, Michael and Lydia and everyone else who's listening in.
Thank you, guys.
What a wonder you are. Yeah, you're awesome, all of you. Thank you for your beautiful presence and your love and doing the great work that you're doing.
Bringing the rain to Sedona.
Such a blessing. And so this week, you know, everyone, highly recommended, just a few quick recaps. Get yourself a whiteboard and write the word finish on it and focus on finishing things, because then you'll start feeling really like you're moving forward. If you feel like there's any wounded child stuff going on, which there probably is, then buy that book, Homecoming by John Bradshaw, Homecoming. And when it comes to a plan, just write down the steps that are needed, yeah? But don't worry about getting them on a calendar necessarily, because you probably won't be able to do it, and it might not work anyway. So, but just go focus on finish, and resistance is your friend. So if you have resistance to something, the chances are, in many, many cases, resistance is a sign of success, not a sign of failure, yeah? So, if you're feeling tired and angry or whatever, let's take a break and take to have a nap. Yeah, but resistance is a good sign that you're on the right track. Because it's much easier to do things that are bad for us than it is to do things that are good for us. And things that are good for us tend to have resistance. So don't see it as a problem, see it as a success. Yeah, and everything starts to get easy. And of course, also, last thing is think about the things you used to love to do as a child and do some of those things. So you have a beautiful, fun, light, playful experience.
And you can share pictures on Facebook if you'd like. Right. So some activity, some food that you really loved as a child, and to just have fun. Just have fun with it. And I do think that Michael's practice of looking at a picture of himself as a child and doing the Ho'oponopono is very powerful, actually. So if any of you feel inspired, that's a beautiful, beautiful practice, just surrounding your inner child with love. So we'll just drink in and breathe in all of the insights, awareness, greater understanding, inspiration that was on this call. So just breathing in the love and the support of this community, of this family. And as you exhale, just letting that feeling of love and connectedness and grounding sink into your being. Grounding in the sense of self as a superhero, gaining strength in these calls and in the course, and then really being able to be of service to so many others, even if it's just very subtly through your mind and your heart. So on our last breath, just drinking all of the support and power in, and on your exhale, just sending it out with love and compassion, just vibrationally to so many souls who need it. And we look forward to connecting with you really soon. Lots and lots of love and many, many blessings.
Yay. So much love, big hugs, and talk to you soon.